From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Feast your ears on this. Several new restaurants consume the spotlight in Metro Atlanta this year, from swanky Mexican to ramen to good old Southern-style dishes. And each year, Atlanta Magazine's Year in Food considers those attention-getters, along with the less flashy, the more reliable, and the often surprising array of eateries. Mara Shaloup and Jennifer Zeman are writers and food critics for Atlanta Magazine. Mara has laryngitis, which doesn't play well on radio. So, Jennifer Zeman, you're going to dig into this feast all by yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here so much. This has been another year of a lot of new restaurants, emerging chefs, a lot of good eating. But let's look at the overall ideas and themes, starting with the food, and then we'll get to chefs. What was their big food trends this year?
I noticed, I grew up in Atlanta, and I've been covering food for 15 years here now, and I noticed that we're seeing a lot more French restaurants. There was a dearth of French restaurants for a long time. Sorry, quality French restaurants. And I've noticed, you know, with Tiny Lou's, which is the new restaurant in the renovated Claremont on Ponce, the Bazzotti development, which has the Brasserie, which Remy Granger, who is, you know, an amazing French chef, is over there. And then there's, you know, new stuff coming down the pipeline with AIX, which is Nick Leahy and... And I think there's one more French restaurant, but that was definitely a big trend. We're starting to bring in a lot more French. And then Mexican has been on the rise, more upscale Mexican and more varied subgenres of Mexican cuisine, like Yucatan-inspired food at Estrella on the Beltline, Casa Cielo in Sandy Springs. And then we're looking at some other places coming up in the new year.
So what are you looking at?
There's a new place coming up. I don't know the name. It's unnamed yet, and it's going to be another upscale Mexican concept.
So how about chefs? Any big rising stars?
You know, I feel like it was kind of an average year for rising stars, unfortunately. I noticed that the kind of national attention, interestingly enough, that Atlanta was getting was a lot of our more pop-up chefs, a Sichuan restaurant in the middle of Buford Highway, way, way, way up in like this little strip mall. He's been nominated for Beard Awards at Masterpiece. It's the Sichuan restaurant.
Is that who? What's the name of the
chef? His name is Ri Liu, mm-hmm. And I could be mispronouncing it because I'm not Chinese. I'm sorry. But he is a really well-trained chef who's does these intricate vegetable carvings and vegetable juice-infused dumplings that turn the color green. Mm. But he is a talent, and him and then, you know, the chef of Talat, who's opening his new restaurant, which will finally be his first bricks and mortar.
Is that Parnasse Savant?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that properly.
Yes, we're doing our best.
So that was another pop-up place that's turning into a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Another trend. Yeah.
Is it? Mm-hmm. That's happening in more and more places.
Yeah, Jarrett Stiber of Eat Me, Speak Me, he's going to be opening his own brick and mortar. And he was really one of the first chefs who was at Gatto Bisco, which is where Parnasse started as well.
And you also highlighted Brian So from Spring, not right in town Atlanta, but in Marietta.
Yeah, I love his food. He has a really unique perspective. He opened a restaurant in Marietta because that's close to where he grew up. Mm-hmm. And he's a Korean-American chef, but his food is almost Southern in a way because he's using, you know, what is in season in the South. And it's really clean. He makes the most amazing bread that they give you with like room temperature butter. And it's an unassuming restaurant. And the price point is also great. I mean, it's right where you want to see it. You're not going to be blowing it out for $200 for two people.
Another pop-up that you all liked is Marciela Vega's place. Mm-hmm. What does she do?
Marciela, I've been following her on social media for quite some time. In fact, I was kind of stalking her. She is a Mexican-American chef she's kind of had her hands in lots of different pots, but she's just an absolute creative cook. She's, as I said, of Mexican descent, and so am I. And she has been doing all this plant-based food. She started with tamales at pop-ups. I think it was around the time there was the earthquake in Mexico City. She did a benefit for that, and I think it just kind of started snowballing after that for her.
So this has been, you talked about social media. Obviously, social media is playing a really different role in your trade these days, mm-hmm. when you're seeing responses from people. Is that one of the indicators that you're looking at for how a restaurant is doing?
I mean, I definitely, I mean, not how a restaurant was doing is doing, but more just kind of like taking a temperature for what's happening in Atlanta, what people are really interested in. I can see on social media engagement, you know, what people love. You know, people really love like Shaolong Bao, those soup dumplings. You know, they love tacos.
What's not to love?
You know, so you can see kind of, it kind of helps you adjust your coverage.
And how about the sort of, I have a friend who says, I don't go into any restaurants that are made for Instagram. You know, that the aesthetics, to be photographed within a place, any place come into mind that you would love to be photographed or is most Instagrammable?
I mean, that was actually one of the things that I noted about Momonoke, which I told you about in my list. It's Jason Liang and his wife, Ching Yao, who is the pastry chef. And you go into that little jewel box of a restaurant and it just feels like you're in the middle of Tokyo or Taipei. It's beautiful and really curated. But I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. like at Gu's on Buford Highway right now, they have this contraption they serve you your noodles on that makes it look like the noodles are suspended in midair. And I think it's fun. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having fun when you're eating.
And you, there was another husband and wife team that you really liked that do Laotian food, mm-hmm. Laos food from
yes.
Laos,
mm-hmm.
Which is funny. You know, you think of Thai or Chinese or Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's going to become a thing that people say, let's go out for Laotian food?
Snackbox was probably one of my top. Snackbox Bistro, which you're discussing, is one of my favorite restaurants of the year.
Wow, it's in Doraville.
It's in Doraville. It's in the Super 8 supermarket shopping center. It's really unassuming. But in researching the restaurant and its cuisine, I learned that most of the Thai food that you see in the U.S. is actually Laotian, with a little more sugar.
Hmm.
And there, that restaurant is just, I don't know what, they're just, it's just good. You know, I don't care so much about the environment where I'm eating. I'm definitely someone who's going to be on Buford Highway more than I am in Buckhead when it comes to food. I just really want to eat good food. They make really good, wholesome, clean food. Actually, I believe that she won Best Chef on Eater Atlanta this year.
Okay. So speaking of chefs, the post-Me Too movement on the national scene, you know, we've seen John Besh and Mario Batali fall. I'm just wondering if there are any, you seeing any of that repeated in the Atlanta food scene?
You know, I haven't seen much of the Me Too movement here, but I think there's been a kind of broader focus on the environment in which people are working. You know, women feeling safer, having more people of color in higher roles. We don't see quite enough chefs that are of color mm-hmm. in Atlanta, which is weird because that's not what Atlanta looks like.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, chefs want to have quality of life. You know, they have kids. Yeah, they it's been a notoriously tough industry to live in and to work in. And I think that there's been an overarching national vibe of just making sure that people working in restaurants are happy and healthy and have the resources that they need, whether they're women, men, or immigrants.
Yeah, it's not a restaurant known for work-life balance, certainly.
No, it's not.
We're talking about the Year in Food with Jennifer Zeman from Atlanta Magazine, and we would love to hear from you. Which new restaurants did you try this year, and how was your experience? You can let us know on our Facebook group or leave us a voicemail. We're at 404-500-9847. Well, it was certainly good a year for brunch eateries,
yes.
Given the mimosa bill. Any favorites or standouts for brunch for you?
I just went to Lloyd's Bar and Lounge over on DeKalb Avenue, which opened a couple of weeks ago this past Sunday. And it's got this weird, like, not weird, but really, like, weirdly cool 70s throwback vibe when you go in. It's lots of wood paneling, these little screens that have, like, specials with, like, cowboys on them. And, like, everything that we ate was $10 and under, which you can't really beat.
Well, all right. How about cocktail culture, if you want to talk about spending a lot of money very quickly. Any favorite standouts in that end?
Yeah, I mean, Watchmen opened up from the Kimball House Boys this year, and anything that they ever do, I will support. They have an amazing painkiller there, which they use Navy Strength Rum. I did not realize that there's such a thing
rum.
As Navy Strength Rum. Like,
it explains so much.
It really does. I mean, the seas are hard. But that, and then it comes in this amazing tin cup that has the recipe printed on it. I love having drinks there. Paper Crane Lounge, which is above Stable House, was also a notable cocktail lounge that opened this year, and I really like them a lot.
Okay, so if you're looking at the lines, let's say this was the year for Hattie B's. My goodness. Along with some few snarky social media posts about what chumps they are for waiting that long in line. But what do you think? Is it worth it?
I mean, I went and I waited. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Atlanta's not really the type of city that waits in line for restaurants. So it was definitely neat to see. And I love that they converted that old building that had been sitting there, you know, empty forever. Yes, they're from out of town, but I'm not the kind of person that's like, no out-of-towners. But I do have a trick. If you don't want to wait in the line, you can order them on Postmates.
You've just changed the whole game.
And it holds up well in delivery.
Well,
so.
It's fried chicken.
Yeah, so.
And there was more Southern comfort food on the menu at Lloyd's, which you mentioned, mm-hmm. the place with the sort of 70s vibe. Okay, so what else is looking really good to you? And how about in the healthy, you know, sort of vegan or gluten-free range?
Well, Recess opened from the Castellucci Group.
That's down at the Croag Street Market,
which is down at Croag Street Market. And it's kind of in line with that upbeat restaurant over in Howell Mill, Westside mm-hmm, area. Yep. You know, grain bowls, salads, tonics. I really enjoy the flavor combinations they do at Recess. Flower Child opened. I believe it's owned by the same people who own True Food out of Dallas. And it's kind of, you know, I see those restaurants as utilitarian. I don't believe that food has to always be experiential. I believe that sometimes for lunch, you just need a good salad. And these places provide you that.
Do people call you up all the time and say, where should I go have dinner?
Yes,
where should I go
but
lunch?
I have a rule.
What?
You have to use my recommendation. Or you lose the right.
We have to offer proof. How about in the sort of, let's say, chef-owned restaurants? Has that continued to be a trend?
I think so. And it goes back to what I was saying that people, chefs, and I just feel like it seems like every chef I know has a kid right now, a young kid just like myself. And I think they want a quality of life. I just feel like people are not settling for these crazy hours and these drug and alcohol fueled environments anymore. I feel like people, like being a chef doesn't have the same stigma it used to. You're not just someone slinging food for somebody. You're an artist. And I believe artists should have good life.
One of those that you picked out on the list for chef-owned places, or at least co-owned, is White Bull in Decatur. And we spoke with Pat mm-hmm. Pascarella, the chef there. It was just terrific. But why is it a standout for you?
I mean, it's just a nice addition to the Decatur food scene, you know, that Mediterranean. It's a slightly different, you know, and anytime people are doing things that are not just double-cut pork chops over mashed potatoes, you know, you try to support it.
Oh, and they, like, mill their own flour yeah. and make their own butter. It's pretty devoted. All right, some new restaurants we should put on our radar for 2019.
First and foremost, that would be Zeb Stevenson's Redbird. Zeb was, up until it was sold, Watershed's main guy. He's not really a Southern chef, but he's, like, such a vegetable guy that I think he's gotten that reputation, especially because he was at Watershed and it's such a Southern restaurant. But he is going to be doing Redbird, which he says is not going to be Southern, and really rely on, you know, whatever ingredients he feels like using. And it's going to be over in the West Side in the former Bacchanalia space.
All right. So one to look forward to and many to look back at. Another Year in Foods, Jennifer Zeman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
She's written about the most important things that happened in Atlanta's restaurant scene this year for Atlanta Magazine. And since we're talking about food, Tribe Called Quest is bringing us out with ham and eggs. Coming up, when Mark Hogenkamp's world was stolen from him, he created his own. We're going to talk to the Atlanta man who helped this reclusive artist get his work out to the art world, and now moviegoers with the film Welcome to Marwen. I dropped the beat so I can talk about my